Mississippi Golfer Podcast. From players to tournaments to courses and personalities, this is your home for everything Mississippi Golf. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Mississippi Golfer Podcast. This is Paul, and I've got my co-host here with me today. Hey Matt, how are you?
Good, how's it going?
Oh, good, man. Everybody, just a little forewarning. Matt's doing a little traveling today, so if you hear a truck, you hear a siren, you hear something in the background, just bear with us a little bit. We want to try to keep up coming out on a regular schedule, so you know we're gonna make it happen where we can.
We're trying to make technology work for us this time, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's kind of been a fun Sunday just to follow some of the Mississippi folks playing in different tournaments all over the place, and we're going to take a couple of minutes and kind of go through that, and then we'll get to the interview.
Matt, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been a lot going on. I mean, we've tried to put some stuff out on Twitter with Charlie Miller and Sims Abney in the championship finals of the Cotton States tournament over in,
Monroe, Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then, and we had Blair Stockett, who we interviewed a couple of weeks ago. She finished inside the top 15 in the Tennessee Open. So that was another fun one to get to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Blair's had a great summer and really, like, coming in playing well. I mean, school's right around the corner, and college, you know, their college seasons are all about to kick off. So it's good to see some of them, really Charlie and Sims also included, you know, playing well going into their, you know, fall seasons. And it's going to make, you know, college golf a lot of fun to watch this year too.
Yeah, for sure. Charlie has had a great, you know, a great summer in the tournaments that he's played in. And then Sims, I think I saw, is inside of the top 10 in the junior, you know, amateur rankings in the world. So I'd say that's a pretty solid year that Sims has built up this far.
Yeah, absolutely. He has. And he's going in, I think, playing well at Alabama, and, you know, see what happens his freshman year over there.
For sure. And then we got the guys that are playing for money, playing up in Springfield, Missouri this week on the Corn Ferry Tour. It looked like everybody, you know, had a pretty good week. Jonathan Randolph got way up there on the leaderboard and didn't have the best Sunday round, but still had a top 10 finish and still pushing.
Yeah, he finished well. I know he would have loved to have a few more birdies today that, you could potentially push him inside of that, you know, top 25 for the standings, which is really what they're gunning for. But he's not far outside of that. Got at least one or two events left, and then going into the playoffs, so he's played well. He's had chances, and, you know, just got to put four rounds together. That's the name of the game out there, and it's tough.
Yeah, no doubt. And this time of year, I mean, it's kind of a crazy schedule on that Corn Ferry Tour, but it's, you know, they're coming down to the end of the season and they're playing every week. And not just Jonathan, but you got guys like Chad Ramey, who's had tons of great finishes over the last month. And then you also got Davis Riley and Braden Thornberry out there, you know, trying to work their way into the, you know, whether it's not the top 25, but if they can make it into those Webb finals, that's another shot to get a PGA Tour card and, you know, at least a guaranteed place to play next year if, you know, back on the Corn Ferry Tour if they don't make it through and get their tour cards.
Yeah, I think that's the goal for them. I mean, they want to get back and really get status. I mean, they're really playing off very limited status on the Corn Ferry Tour. So if they could get there and have, you know, legitimate status for next year, I think that would be a win for this season for them.
Yeah, no doubt. And it'll be fun to watch them, and we'll make sure to keep everybody as updated as we can. We're hoping to get some of those guys on the podcast here soon, and also just, you know, follow all of our social media accounts. We're going to try to do our best over these closing few weeks on the tours, going into the Webb finals, you know, keeping everybody up to date. But let's get to the matter at hand here. We were able to catch up with Margot Coleman this week, the executive director of the First Tee of Central Mississippi, but has a long and storied history in Mississippi golf as being the executive director of the Mississippi Golf Association. Matt, for how long was she there?
Almost 20 years. I mean, yeah, if you've played any tournament of golf in Mississippi or really played anywhere, you heard of Margot if you don't know her personally. She's done a ton for the game and really getting the MGA and being a huge part of those tournaments all over the state. And now she's kind of got a new challenge going into taking a totally different platform with the First Tee and really working completely with juniors, and it's her really goal is all about growing the game. And she talks a lot about in the interview about, you know, getting into schools, and you know that it's the goal of introducing people to the game that maybe would not normally have that opportunity. So there's a lot of good things going on with the first tee.
Well, that's awesome. I'm excited to, you know, kind of let everybody hear this interview. So sit back and enjoy our interview with Margot Coleman.
With me now is Margot Coleman, a name that if you've played golf in Mississippi, or especially if you played in tournaments, you've met her or heard the name. And she was with Mississippi Golf Association as their executive director for, I believe, almost 20 years, and has now transitioned to the executive director of the First Tee Central Mississippi. So, Margot, thank you very much for coming and talking with us a little bit.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is a this is exciting. It's an honor, and I love what you guys are doing. I've subscribed, and I'm excited to see where this goes, and happy to have an opportunity to share our message.
Good, thank you. We're here. We want to tell the stories of Mississippi, and you know you've been involved in golf in Mississippi probably as long as anybody. So I mean, obviously you were with the MGA since I guess around 2000, kind of what it looks like, and. Talk about kind of your background. How did you get into golf? Kind of what is your kind of growing up leading to kind of a life in golf that you're now a part of?
Where I am. Well, I grew up in Hope, Arkansas, and my dad started taking us to the golf course. I have a sister that's 5 years younger than me, and she's also involved in golf. And he started taking us to the golf course. I was about eight. And we had got some Northwestern Chi-Chi Rodriguez clubs. Those were the, you know, youth club, kids clubs at the time. And we just started playing. And my mom never really played. She was always our caddy and laundry lady and made sure we had the right snacks and all that kind of stuff. But dad would play with us. And so we played junior golf in Arkansas, played in some AJGA events in the 80s and 90s. I went to Ole Miss and played on the women's golf team from 93 to 98 and did an internship with the Arkansas Golf Association. I was a PJ Boatwright intern in 96 and said, this is what I want to do.
Okay.
And it's really hard to get into that field, even now.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of jobs. People usually get in it and stay. The staffs are small. So it's kind of a hard area industry really to break into. And when I got married, my husband lived here in Jackson, so I moved to Jackson, and I went and said, I need a job. And I was working in the pro shop at Colonial Country Club, and Jeff Morton with the MGA came by to talk to him about some stuff, and I said, I want to come work for you. And kind of just begged him. So they kind of created a position, and in January of 2000, I started with the MGA, and who knew that I would stay almost 20 years, that I loved every minute of it. I loved the people. I loved the work. To be honest with you, I was involved in the beginning with the gin handicap service and junior golf and course rating. And then when Jeff left, they promoted me to executive director. And I was only one of three female executive directors of state golf associations. And probably one of the youngest, because I think at the time I was like 27.
Yeah, you were pretty new out of college with the internship and at Arkansas.
Yes.
So really, I guess that the internship really is a key piece that I know you've done some of those when you were at the MGA as well, giving internships out and kind of giving people a start in golf like that maybe would be hard to get in otherwise.
Yes, if there are any young people out there that think they want to work in golf administration, I highly recommend talking to the Mississippi Golf Association or any, they're called allied golf associations now, but state and regional golf associations to do an internship. They're paid internships. You learn all facets of golf administration, and it's you'll either love it or you'll say, this is not for me. And we had a few of those. I think I had 35 interns throughout my career at the MGA, there were PJ Boatwright interns. And a lot of them are still in golf administration. It's kind of fun to see them at meetings and go, oh, that's funny, you were our intern, you know, in 2006 or whatever. And, you know, I still get them now, but I was still getting calls on references for people who've gone on to take other jobs. So kind of fast forward to January, I have a 5-year-old little boy. And the life at the NGA and the work that we do requires a lot of travel, a lot of long hours. And I kind of saw the point of, I want to be a mom. I love being a mom. I don't want to miss out on things. And so the opportunity at the first tee was presented. And I mean, I've been involved in golf my whole life. And junior golf has been a passion of mine. And the first tee is much, much more than a junior golf program. But it was an opportunity for me to stay involved with golf, not travel as much. I've been home every night this summer to put Mac to bed, which has been amazing.
Right.
I mean, that's really the driving force.
Yeah, the summer, I mean, that's the busy schedule. There's something that seems like almost every week that, you know, you can be from Tupelo or then be in Tunica for the junior AM. It just happened. I mean, it goes all over the place for sure.
Right.
So talk about first tee. Kind of talk a little bit about what do they do at a national level. Kind of how did they, how did they start, and you know, kind of what do they do on a little bit larger level than just Mississippi?
Well, the PGA Tour, I mean, the first tee started in '97, and the PGA Tour, USGA, PGA of America were all instrumental, and actually the Masters tournament as well, in founding the first tee, and it was under the umbrella of the World Golf Foundation. And there are a number of large chapters throughout the United States, and there's actually some international chapters as well. And the Mississippi has had two previous chapters, one in Meridian and one in Hattiesburg, that were both active for probably 4 or 5 years, and I worked a little bit with the Meridian chapter when we did the State Games junior event, which came out of some conversations with the first tee staff in Meridian. And so Jackson was able to put together a board of directors, put together an organization called LEAP, which went to the first tee and said, we want a first tee chapter in the Jackson metro area. And so we're called the Central Mississippi chapter. And so we service Rankin County, Madison County, and Hinds County. So schools within those counties, our facilities where we run programs are within those counties. And so we're now one of 170 chapters nationwide. And like I said, a few international chapters as well. But one thing kind of nationally that's cool about the program is once you're a participant, you're always a participant. And when as you age out, you'll be considered an alumni.
Okay.
And there's some opportunities for some internships with like the PGA Tour.
Right.
That are only offered to first tee alumni.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
So if you came to one class, one session, and you're in the network, and you're looking to get into golf, there's a lot of connections that these kids can use to get jobs in different areas when they get out of school. Once you're a participant, there are some scholarships, some leadership opportunities, playing in the at Pebble Beach.
Mm-hmm.
There's some academies that you can go to. So it's a lot about shaping the youth for the future, and so that we're not going to all be PGA and LPGA players. I mean,
so much more to it than that. And if I remember right, this kind of started around the same time. You're talking about the World Golf Federation, kind of as the World Golf Hall of Fame. I know that the national office is down there. Ironically enough, I took my 10-year-old to the World Golf Hall of Fame this past weekend, actually, and you know, and saw that first tee building was there, and telling that they all kind of started around the same time.
Right.
So, yeah, that's really cool, all those connections.
Yes, it is. And now the first tee is kind of coming under the wing of the PGA Tour, which is nice because the PGA Tours are a great supporters of the chapters.
Right.
And allow our kids to have some opportunities to be participants. I know our Sanderson Farms Championship supports our chapter very generously and also provides our kids some opportunities with some clinics. And we're going to have a caddy opportunity during the Wednesday Pro-Am, our first two participants are going to caddy on hole 13 for the PGA Tour player, and we're going to be marshalling on hole 15. And so we're trying to get our kids involved so that as they grow up, they want to give back to the community in time and resources, and that you're a part of something. And then we want you to also give back as kids get older. We've gotten a few older kids that are like 12 and 13 who have started in our program, and we're using them as kind of junior coaches with some of our younger kids, which is very helpful. And that's a heck of a summer job if you can come back after college absolutely. And help us as a junior coach. That beats some jobs, part-time, summer jobs that you could do. And it's a great thing. And the thing that most people don't understand, I think, is that the first tee, like we're a youth. I had somebody today ask me, what exactly do you do? I said, well, we're a youth development organization. And we have a program through the first tee where we're teaching 9 core values and we're teaching healthy habits. And golf is our vehicle to deliver that. So right now we're in 34 schools in the Jackson metro area, and they're delivering either our NSP, which is our national school program, or our DRIVE, which is the national school program, but for aftercare or a middle school. And so there's approximately 17,000 kids in the Jackson metro area that are being exposed 2019 to the first tee curriculum. And then this year we have had just under 1,000 participants between our outreach, which is like field days. We've been to some churches and some other groups that have had kids during the summer that wanted to introduce some of the things that the first tee does. So they are using our curriculum, and we've got some equipment we were able to donate to them. So through our participants, which we've got about 135 who participated in spring and summer classes and camps, and then including that plus our outreach, we're just under 1,000 kids this year the first tee has been able to be a part of their lives in either a one-day experience or a kickoff or something like that, or they were with us in a class. And it's kind of a neat program in the way that you move through it. So our target classes are for 5 and 6-year-olds.
Right.
And that's very popular. We had a camp for 5 to 8-year-olds. We had 20 kids in the camp, and 16 of them were 5 and 6-year-olds. And they really loved every minute.
Yeah,
they didn't want it to
start
end.
Them early, right? Yeah, make it fun.
Yes.
So I guess with these programs, you've got school programs which differ from really the more on course of these 135, maybe doing it at a weekly basis out at on the actual golf course. How do you kind of tailor that to really just introduction versus, I guess, a little more advanced as you're getting kids that really want to learn how to play?
Right. Well, we're an infant group, if you will. I mean, we're in the very beginning stages. We've had our charter for our chapter for just about 25 or 6 months. And so we're really just this year kind of starting to build into where we can have par classes. So everybody that comes in that's at least 7 starts in our player. And that's the player level. And so there's curriculum that we have. We have lesson plans that our coaches teach at the classes. And so we have criteria that once you can do these certain things and you've spent 27 hours in the player curriculum, player class, then you're ready for par. So you don't just come to 3 hours of golf at first tee and, you're ready to go out and play 18 holes by yourself.
No, golf didn't work like that, does it? No.
Yes, no. And then, so we've got, I think Allie told me we have 28 kids that are eligible for par classes now, and that's through the first 2 years plus what we've had this spring and summer. And that we've never had par classes. So this summer was our first time to have par classes, kids that were eligible to go to par. So you have to get into it and stick with it. And then once you're 11 and you've met the criteria, the eligibility to certify out of par, then the next level is birdie. And so after birdie, you have eagle, and then the top level is 8.
Okay.
And so it gets a little bit harder.
Right.
So to get out of player, you have to know the core, 9 core values that we have taught. You have to be able to do a putt-putt, like a 9-hole putting contest, if you will, or a little putting course, and score 20, I think it's 27 or less.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to go out and play 9 holes and turn a scorecard in. No score on the 9 holes. It doesn't have to be from the tips or anything like that.
Just
when we get the kids out on the course.
Get that experience.
Yes. Yes. And that's hard for some of the kids. You know, some of them are very much beginners. They've never touched a club. They don't know anything about golf. And then
right.
we have some that come in, probably about half come in, and they have clubs, and they've played a little bit. They've been out with mom, dad, granddad, grandma. Somebody's
mm-hmm.
taken them out before. And it's been interesting. Our demographics are very diverse. We have about 30% are female, maybe 35% are female, which has been encouraging to me because I want to see these girls out there on the course. And we've got kids from all different kinds of backgrounds and walks of life. We have children that are homeschooled, private school, public school. We don't turn anybody away. We have financial aid and available for anybody who meets our criteria, and the criteria is not expensive. You don't have to turn in a tax report or anything like that. We want every child that wants to participate to have an opportunity to participate.
Right.
One cool thing that we did this summer is we have partnered with the Mississippi Urban League, and we've been having classes for kids that are in there after, well, it's a summer care program with the Mississippi Urban League in Jackson. And we're planning to have classes this fall and spring for them. And that's been a great group of kids to get involved with. We've been out there on Wednesdays at Pete Brown Golf Course that's at Grove Park. And those kids have been amazing. And it's cool to see the ones that have progressed. Like we just finished our class, and Allie Miller, our program director, I'm like, Allie, I mean, we both were naming the same kids. We're like, they actually have, like, they got it.
Right.
Like, they need to go to the next level. And so we're excited about the fall and getting to work with them a little more and get them on the course and see where they progress, because most of them are in either upper elementary or going into middle school. So hopefully we have a chance to progress them through, and that there's a need in JPS for high school golf teams.
Yes.
Because a lot of the JPS high schools don't have golf teams, and that's something that they would like to develop. Well, you can't just take a 9th or 10th grader and say, here's some clubs, you're on the golf team. It just doesn't work like that.
No, so that's great. You kind of get to spend time and introduce a lot of kids that maybe would have never touched a club that maybe could become playing on the high school team. And who knows what that could turn into. So they just need that chance to get a club in their hand, and that's really cool. You get to do that with, you know, a lot of kids, and some of them it sticks, and who knows what that'll turn into.
Right. And it's interesting how many of the kids actually are listening to what we're telling them. And I don't think I knew until I kind of started this journey from tournament administration and amateur golf administration to true nonprofit work and development of kids. Is they want to learn, and they want to learn about being honest and responsibility and respect and perseverance and integrity and courtesy and shaking hands with each other and sportsmanship. And they're soaking up everything you tell them, all of our kids at all of our classes. I mean, when we're going over the core values, they know. It's interesting when the ones have gone home and done their homework and their yardage book, and we want them to bridge those things between our first tee classes and school and life.
Right. Yeah, because that's different from what even working with juniors in the past. I mean, you're getting the kids that have gone through that are at the higher level playing in all these, junior tournaments, where now you kind of get to start really at square one with, really a lot of kids that you can teach those values to that You know, and golf is great about that. I mean, you have to be honest. You have to follow the rules. You have to call things on yourself, which is
right,
so much different from other sports that really you can only get from getting out there and doing it and learning that and having to call a penalty on yourself, which, you know, doesn't seem like something anybody would really want to do, but that's just that's how it works, and you hopefully that translates into life, and I think golf is a great way to do that and teach values like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how can people get involved? I mean, I know you do these classes in schools. I know you have on class, opportunities and on the golf course and things like that.
We have got, there's two main things that we need. One is we need financial support. So monetary donations are always welcome, and we do have several donors that are very generous to support our chapter. So we'll, as we grow, you know, that need is going to increase.
Right.
And we need people. We need, and I've had a number of ladies that are like, I don't really play golf, but my kids play junior golf, and now I don't have, they're in college, and they have been great volunteers because we need people that not necessarily are a golfer to come out and help us manage the kids. Hey, stay in the safety zone.
The simple things of hurting young kids like that,
stay over here. I mean, and the great thing about the curriculum is, when we go to a school and introduce it to a school, they don't have to be a golfer. The curriculum, the cue words, everything, the diagrams are very intuitive. And if you know the letter A, you've got their setup and where their feet should be. And if you got the letter Y, their arms and the club make the letter Y.
Right.
So they're using, we've got short course golf and some snag equipment that they're putting in the school. So the equipment's big-headed, easy to hit, plastic with the Velcro balls and the Velcro target. So they're getting instant success, and they're loving it. And then as they progress into our classes, so the feeder program, I guess, if you will, we want to get it in all the schools so they have an introduction. So in the schools, they're getting the values and the golf introduction. And then we have classes after school, and during the summer we had them in the mornings and some afternoon classes, and we did some 3-day camps. So now if they loved it in school, they have an after-school place that they can go and get a little more one-on-one experience. And we've got clubs that they can use. So if the kids don't have clubs, the parents don't have to invest. So we've had a number of parents that love that because they're like, we tried this, we tried that. They didn't like this. I have a violin in the closet, and I have this over here.
Yeah.
We've got some stuff that we can give you if they really like it, or you can find out if they like it before you go invest several hundred dollars in junior golf equipment that they don't really even like.
I
they don't even really
too,
love it, you know.
Yeah, I saw too on your website. I mean, you would love to have, and you need to have a need for equipment donations if people have, you know, clubs that are kids have outgrown and things like that. I mean, I know there's kids grow out of their clubs, and sometimes they maybe don't have a home for them after they can't use them anymore.
Right. Junior clubs are very much something that we need. Bags with stands, like walking bags, and maybe your kids have a new golf bag you've got a junior bag with a stand. If your equipment is probably over 10 years old, we really can't use it. And I know that sounds probably a little bit snobby, but if it's really old or if it's junk, we just can't use it for the kids. They just can't. You're not going to give them a blade, one iron.
Right. Yeah. That's not going to help them learn how to play golf. Right.
You know, but, if it's ladies clubs, we need ladies clubs because we've got young girls that are getting into, that are at that high school, upper junior high, that can use the ladies club, and actually some of our boys that are probably 11 and 12 could even use those clubs because they would be long enough and still light enough. But certainly junior clubs. If you have golf balls that are not, again, 20-year-old golf balls sitting in a bucket in your garage. No, but yes, they don't, because I learned that. It's funny, I've had a lot of people in the last 2 weeks that reached out to me and said, so how do you like it? And I'm like, well, I guess I'm 7 months in, so that's the appropriate time to ask. But I said, I love it. It's different every day.
Right.
The kids are great. The people we work with are awesome. I haven't had too many people tell me no when I've asked them to help me with something. The gentleman, Mr. Quinn that owns Pizza Hut, has been so generous to provide pizza for different activities that we've had, kickoffs, achievement ceremonies, camps. Brown Bottling has been great to provide us with drinks for the kids, so we've got water and Gatorade at our events, and so we've had a lot of people in the community that have reached out, and we need more volunteers. Honestly, we need people that can come to our classes and assist our coaches. Uh-huh. So if we have the two coaches, we need at least one volunteer there that can help with, I need to go to the bathroom, I need a Band-Aid, stand over here, just to help us organize the kids. And then our kickoff events and achievement ceremonies with registration. Maybe it's a pizza delivery. Maybe
a lot that goes into it.
Make sure we have ice on the water. You know, we're a two-person staff, and there's just we can't be everywhere at once. I mean, our goal 5 years is to be a statewide First Tee chapter, and there are some states that are that way where they have basically programming in different pockets of the state, and so. We're a couple of years from that, but we would like to see the NSP and Drive in 90% of the schools statewide, and then we can have a coach that has a class in Tupelo, that has classes in the Delta, that has classes in Hattiesburg, that has classes on the coast, that we can have people in different pockets of the state that are teaching kids First Tee outside of just the Tri-County area.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, that'd be great to see this grow across the states. How can people kind of follow what you're doing? I know you're on social media, and
what's the best way to kind of
learn about what you're doing?
Well, the best, we do have a newsletter we send out quarterly. So if you go to our website, you can find out a lot of information. You can also sign up for our newsletter through our website. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So follow along. You can see the pictures of what the kids are doing, activities that we have coming up, volunteer needs that we have. So, and it doesn't even have to be I'm committed to 6 weeks and I can't do that. If Monday afternoons you're free, we'll take you from 4:15 to 5:45.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got one day a week that you could donate your time, or a Saturday morning for 2 hours. It's not like you're going to be out there for 8 hours working with the kids. The classes are usually an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half. And so and we're hoping, we've had a couple of volunteers that came out this summer that I think are going to turn into some really good coaches. Yeah, that's the thing. You get the guy that loves golf, and he's a good golfer, and he gets out here, and it's like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
I don't really like kids.
Right.
Well, this may not be the thing for you.
Right. No, there's,
you know,
it's kind of all about the kids. That's right.
Yeah. So if you love kids and just being involved and wanting to help them to be better people, and that's one of the slogans where they're good golfers, better people.
Yeah.
So we want them to love the game forever and to be contributing men and members of the community. So that's been an exciting part of it, and hopefully we'll get a few good golfers out of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's awesome. People definitely go check that out. I kind of got one kind of question to end on. You know, obviously you're seeing kids in golf at the very early stage. You've seen golf in Mississippi really for the past 20 years. Where do you see golf in the state right now? I mean, you're kind of helping grow that. I think we've got a lot of really good players coming out of the state, and really now the U.S. Women's Amateur at Old Whaley, which is a big deal for the state. So how has the state, how's it kind of changed and evolved since you've kind of begun and get started in that world?
I think golf in Mississippi is in a good place right now. The one thing that I'm very proud of as a whole, there's been a lot of people that were involved with it, was how many young adults that have played college golf that came out of Mississippi Junior Golf, and I think that's going to only continue to grow. I mean, there's a number of girls as well that are getting opportunities to play college golf and be involved with something. I mean, golf is so good for you for so many reasons, and to see these kids have opportunities to play college golf and then be part, you know, it helps them, they get an education, it helps them to manage their time, and I think being a college athlete, whether it's golf or any other sport, teaches you a lot about real life, when you have to get up at 6 o'clock and go to workouts, and then you have to go to class, and then you have to go to practice, and you have to do your homework, and you have to do study hall, and you have to do community service, and cram all that into trying to have a little bit of a social life at the end is management for the real world. I think girls golf, which I have a passion for that because I came from, you know, a female at our club playing golf. There were no other girls that played other than my sister, who was 5 years younger than me. And I played on the boys golf team. We played from the back tee. And now we've got girls golf teams in public school. We've got girls golf team in private schools. We've got women's events and things that are being played all over the state. I think Old Waverly opening up their doors to bring the third USGA championship to Old Waverly is amazing. I can't wait to – I'm hoping I get to go up there and watch, because those girls are amazing. It was it's a great thing for Mississippi, and I think it's going to just continue to get better and better. A lot of the club pros throughout the state, if you're in Jackson, you see the concentration of it here, but the Gulf Coast, Northeast Mississippi, the Delta, Hattiesburg, Meridian, they're working hard to keep kids in golf and make it fun. And that's the thing. You don't start off a child from the back tees and say, go make a par.
Yeah,
and, exactly. You know, they make a 10. It's got to be fun. You want
right.
them to, you know, start them out close to the green and make it a fun. And that's what first tee is all about, is it's fun. When they first make that putt and they get it airborne and they hit the target, they're so happy. It's amazing to see the look on their face and the big smiles. It's like, oh, my gosh, I did that. And so anyway, I think often Mississippi is in a good place. The golf courses are, their membership seems to be up. I'm not in that day-to-day, but just dealing with the clubs that we do deal with in the Jackson area and talking to my friends in golf, it seems like the golfers are supporting the golf courses, and I think things are in a good place.
Yeah, I definitely
agree. Sanderson Farms having a standalone date. And the professional golfers that we'll see here with a increased field size in September is huge.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah,
to see what that looks like and what names we could potentially pull in and see for the first time ever is going to be very exciting. What that turns into. So, well, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for all that you
thank
do for
you.
The state in golf, and hope we can keep in touch and kind of follow what you're doing as this continues to grow and hopefully, yeah, take over the whole state and you know, really help impact young kids, you know, all over the state. So,
well, thank you, and we appreciate everybody that's already been so supportive of our chapter, as far as our volunteers and our coaches and the courses that have said yes, y'all can come out and have classes in the afternoon or on a Saturday morning or whatever it may be that we ask from people in the community. They've been very, very supportive, and we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely go check out the First Tee. Go learn more about them. Get in touch with Margot. And if you have some time or clubs or whatever you can do to help them grow, I think that would be a great thing.
We would love it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.
All right, well, that was really fun to hear from Margot Coleman and just, you know, everything that's going on with the First Tee. A little about her history is, you know, she is an incredible ambassador for Mississippi golf, and it's really fun to see what she's doing with the First Tee. Matt, since you actually did the interview, what are a couple of things that really, you know, stuck out to you that could be big takeaways from this interview?
Yeah, I was really impressed with, you know, just the number of people they're impacting already. I mean, she's only been there less than a year, and she talked a lot about the school programs and the after school and then, you know, the daycare programs. And then they've got their really own course, which she talked about the different levels. And they really have programs that are in place to you know, help introduce them in a school, you know, an after school program, going to, you know, some really in-depth stuff where they can learn and, you know, make them better golfers and, you know, make them better people. And golf has a lot of, she talks about the core principles. You know, you can learn a lot about life from golf. I think they're doing as much of that as they are teaching the game, which I think is fantastic. And, you know, the other thing I think is just, yeah, how can we help her and this organization, you know, be better? And you know, she talked about wanting to become statewide, and, you know, there's need for volunteers. You know, you don't have to be a great golfer. You don't even have to play golf at all. I mean, she talked about the need to just have people there to help. I mean, anybody that has kids knows that a group of kids can get out of hand, and you need to kind of shuffle them around. And there's just little things that need to happen that they could use, you know, help with, and it would be great benefit to them. And then for those that have younger golfers that maybe have outgrown their clubs, you know, if they're just sitting in the garage and in decent shape, you know, they could use that equipment and help, you know, give it to a kid, let them use it, and help them introduce to the game. So, I'm really impressed with what they're doing. You know, it is a big national organization, but I think this, our local one, is really on a good track, and they're doing a lot of good things. So, you know, Paul, how can people get in touch with them and help just with what they're doing?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to find out more about what's going on at the First Tee is you can go straight to their website. It is thefirstteecentralmississippi.org. That is a mouthful, but it is it is all spelled out, thefirstteecentralmississippi.org. And we'll link up everything in the show notes page. If you go to msgolfer.net/firsttee, we'll link up all their social accounts and ways that you can get in touch and ways to register for the newsletter that Margo mentioned, ways that you can volunteer and donate time, money, equipment, whatever it is. So, you know, we're excited to continue to get involved, and we're going to try to do what we can to get involved with the First Tee as they continue to grow and we grow from them. So excited for that, excited for what's to come, excited for, you know, the episodes that are to come here. So anything, we would love to hear from anybody that's listening. We'd love to hear from you guys and to hear if, you know, if there's golfers we need to be following that we've missed, if there's tournaments that we need to be spotlighting that you'd like us to spotlight, we'd love to do that. If there's, you know, anything going on Golf Mississippi, we would love to help you spotlight that. You can always shoot us a message at any of our social media outlets, or you can always email us at hello@msgolfer.net. So until next time, Matt, hope you have a safe travels, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks, appreciate it.